I want you to prepare your hearts, because what you're about to receive will produce life. It'll give you strength. It'll make you joyful. And it's okay if that joy spills over. It'll bring peace in the midst of turmoil. It can make a mountain a molehill. It can put the devil to flight. Amen? You believe that? Well, it's true. You can say amen or oh me, it's so anyway. I don't know, I'm in kind of a feisty mood tonight, so don't know how this will all come out. But it's okay to have fun in church, amen? After all, God is the author of fun. Hallelujah. Anybody that can put a rainbow in the sky, you know he's fun. Just want to make you aware of some things that occur. Next week, we'll have our evangelism from 6 to 6:45. That's our training. And then the following weekend, I believe, we'll be going out. Anytime that we have training, we go out on that following weekend. So it's usually every other week is what we're doing that for now. But we're going to continue to hit it. And I want to encourage you to pray. If you can't come, pray for the people that are being trained and then the ones that are going out. And because that's important. You can't do anything without prayer. Amen? And prayer is just as important as anything. You know, Jesus never taught his disciples. I mean, he taught them how to pray. And so that's so important. For the ladies, you're going to have a woven meeting this Saturday at 10 a.m. And there's going to be something special there. Yeah. So you can come early. They're going to be making some bracelets, and there is a cost for that, $10. All right. And then our kids' life, they're going to be doing a special Easter Resurrection Day program on April 5th. Hallelujah. Say, I'm blessed. We began several weeks ago, and then I was gone a couple Wednesdays. So we began talking about our heritage of faith. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, Proverbs encourages a father to leave an inheritance for his children's children. And the best inheritance that you could leave is a heritage of faith. Amen? Faith can transcend generations. There is no limit to what faith can do. And if you establish faith with three generations, it'll go on forever. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's three generations, right? We're still talking about them today. And the faith that they operate in is the faith that we operate in. So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, if you establish it for three generations, it's going to go on forever. Amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. That's very important. Faith doesn't come by opinions. Faith comes by what is written in God's word. And before he wrote anything, he spoke something. And we're going to get into that a little bit tonight. But we having the same spirit, it didn't say we had, does it? That means that spirit of faith is still in operation. You have the same faith that Esther did when she went before the king and she said, if I perish, I perish. You have the same faith that David did when he stood against Goliath as a young boy and he took him on and whooped him. Same faith, same spirit of faith. You have the same spirit of faith that Noah had when he spent 100 years building a boat and become the first sailor. I mean, he built a boat that could, football field couldn't hold it. Imagine that. Same spirit of faith. You have the same spirit of faith that Ruth exercised when she said, I'm not going to leave Naomi, my mother-in-law, even when she named herself bitter. She chose to stick close to a bitter woman and to put up with all of her complaining and all of her faults. But she, that was faith. And you know what? It paid off because she married a Boaz. And she became the great-grandmother of David. Because Ruth and Boaz had a son named Jesse, or Obed, and then Jesse, and then I forget how the family goes, but she was, David came as a result of the marriage of Ruth and Boaz. So we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. If you try to have faith in something that's not written, you're in trouble. It's like playing the battleship game, you know, and they're going to say, you sunk my battleship. You can't have faith apart from what is written. Well, I believe in, I think that's what it says. Are you sure? Well, that's, you can't think when it comes to faith. You got to know what it says. Amen? Why do you think God wrote it down in a book? You ever wonder about that? Why did God have these men go through so many trials to write down his words in a book? Thank God that every test we face is an open book test. When you don't know the answer, you can refer back to the manual. All right, I'm hoping to get through this verse here. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So what do you think the two elements of faith are? Believing and speaking. Okay? Now the key is what you believe and what you speak have to be in complete agreement with what is written. If you believe one thing and say another thing, well, then you're not in agreement. And you're certainly not in agreement with that, because the Bible says if you're double-minded, you're not going to receive anything. What's double-minded? Have two minds, two opinions, two thoughts. I can't make up my mind. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? Pick one! Just wanted to see if you're awake. That was a wake-up test. All right, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, if you ever wanted to do a study, you could study just Hebrews chapter 11 and read how many things were done by faith, through faith, in faith. Everything was an action in that chapter. But we're just going to look at verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is what? It is the substance of things hoped for. How many that we have, you're hoping for something? Right? You don't have it yet. You don't see it yet, but you're hoping for it to come to pass, right? Well, what's going to bring that hope into reality? Faith. Faith is the substance. Did you know that that chair that you're sitting on is substance? It's made up of matter. There's something to it, and thank God if there wasn't any substance, it'd be hard to sit on it, right? It's firm. It holds you up. You can put your weight on it. You can put your trust in it. That's what it means to have faith. Put your trust, something to put your trust in. Reliable. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. In a court of law, what is going to determine a case? Is it going to be circumstantial evidence? Or evidence that proves it beyond a doubt. Right? Is it going to be circumstantial evidence? No, because circumstantial evidence really isn't too solid. It's like trying to sit on a chair with two legs. But you need something that will prove your case beyond doubt. And you get evidence. Your Honor, I would like to present evidence number one, evidence number 10, evidence number 20, and if you present enough evidence, the judge is going to rule in your favor. It's the evidence that causes him to rule in your favor. So when you're believing God for something, What evidence do you present to him? You present to him his word. This is what you said, God. This is my evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. If you're dealing with sickness in your body, you're hoping for healing. But you got these symptoms in your body that are real. Maybe they're causing pain. Maybe they're causing other things. They're real. Faith says, though, by his stripes, you're healed. Now, your body will try to bring the sickness to the witness stand and try to testify against you. The pain. Oh, it hurts when I do this. I present to you that he heals all my diseases. See, you present enough evidence on your case, you're going to win your case. That's what it means to have faith. Okay? And then go down to verse 6. Why is it so important to have faith? But without faith, it's what? It is impossible to please God, because you must believe that he is, and what? That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is not just having a belief in something. Did you know that the devils believe? The Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. But does it bring about a change in their situation? No. Just simple believing is not, you've got to act on that belief. How do you know if you really believe something unless there's an action that goes along with it? Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. We had looked at this initially, but we're going to look at it again. And we're going to see how faith works. And tonight we're going to focus on how to release faith. Okay? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Why did he choose now? Because, I don't know, he knew that Abraham was ready to hear what he had to say. So when the Lord is speaking to Abraham, he's telling him something. And Abraham is hearing something. Okay? All right? Keep that in mind. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred or your family and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Excuse me, God, wait a minute. Yes, you have a question? Yes, where are we going? I'm going to tell you. Okay, God, can you tell me where we're going? No, I'm going to tell you. If there's no element of trust, then it's not faith. Abraham had to put his confidence in God alone. Say alone. He told him to get out of everything that he knew, everything that he was familiar with, and to venture out into the unknown. I'm not going out there. It's dark. It's dark. If I can't even say it, it's dark out there. I'm not going out there. It's cold out there. I'm not going out there. I don't know anybody there. Well, that just reveals who you're putting your trust in. If you're not going out there because it's dark, you're putting your trust in a natural thing. Come on now. And he said, you know, I'm going to show you where to go. And if you do this, see, God will never, ever tell you something to do without giving you a benefit of obeying his command. He'll never tell you to do something without a blessing that he has in mind. Verse 2. And I will make of you a great nation. Who's the architect now of Abraham's life? I will make of you. Oh, I thought I'm a self-made man. Well, sorry, wrong answer. If you're a self-made man, you're not going to last. You want to let the eternal one make you. He said, I will make of you a great nation. Isn't it awesome how God can take one man and make a nation out of him? I will bless you. Who's going to bless him? God. Never forget who your source is. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to make you the CEO of a big company and you're going to get very rich. He said, I will make you. I will bless you. Never forget who your source is. The source is not your job. The source is not your income. Your source is God. Everything else is just an avenue of how he gets things to you. But ultimately, he's the source. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12:2. And make your name great. So he's going to multiply, he's going to be blessed, and he's going to be famous. And you will be a blessing. In other words, I'm going to use you to bless others. So he's going to multiply, he's going to be famous, he's going to be blessed, and he's going to be a blessing. But in order to become a great nation and experience God's blessing and be empowered to be a blessing, he has to go by faith. And the only thing that he has to rely on is what God said. He can't rely on his father. He can't rely on his family. Not that they're not important, but it's a matter of where you place your trust. You believe, Jeff, that if I jumped on this chair, it would hold me up? Why isn't it holding me up now? Because I have to transfer my trust. Thank God I have balance. See, when I put my trust in that, now it was able to hold me up. But until I transfer my trust, it's not holding me up, even though it's able. But I must transfer my trust in God. Abraham didn't have anything else but a word from God. And the word was an instruction, and the word was a promise. If you follow the instruction, you get the promise. But if you want to get the promise, you got to follow the instruction. That's the way God works. He doesn't work any other way. You cannot tell me how blessed of a life you're living and you're not following the promises. It does not work. That's a deception. I know many people who claim to be blessed, but they're not following the promises. That's a deception. And you know what? The thing about being deceived is you don't know you're deceived. If you knew you were deceived, then you could avoid it. But they're thinking that they can be blessed without following the promises? Uh-uh. No way. That's a trap. Because what happens if you think you're blessed and you're not following the promises, it's all on you. Your strength, your laurels, your energy, your effort, it's all on you. So he said, I will bless them that bless you. Oh, see, now if someone partners with Abram, they're going to experience a blessing because he's a blessed man. And if you get connected with someone who's blessed, the blessing's going to get on you too. The blessing was meant to be shared. And curse him that curses you. Don't mess with God's kids or God's stuff. He'll curse you. You curse Abram? Why? Because he was chosen to enter into a covenant relationship with God. And God does not take it lightly when you mess with his kids or his stuff. Amen? You don't mess with God. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. It was because of Abraham's faith that the Messiah came to this earth. I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit because Abram had so much faith in God that when God asked him for his firstborn, whom he believed him for 25 years, he said, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. He says, okay. He got up early. He went on the mountain. He said, me and the lad are going to worship, and we're going to come back. One thing you're going to learn about people of faith is they speak in a very positive way, in a confident way. So, Abram heard. God spoke to him. So, when God spoke, faith now came to Abram's heart. All right? But he still had to choose to release the faith that came to his heart. He had to act in obedience to what was said. That's the faith part. You're not really in faith until your actions line up with what you're speaking and believing. All have to be in line with the word in order for God's power to be released. We know that Abraham did it because verse 4 says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He told his family, he said, I got to go. Where are you going? Oh, the Lord's going to show me. Who's the Lord? I don't know if his family knew. So, go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Back up to Mark chapter 4 first. Or no, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 5. Boy, that preacher's double-minded. We should make up his mind about what scripture he wants to go to. Mark chapter 5. Thank you. Okay, I want you to look at verse 15. This was when he encountered the man who was possessed by legion. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You know, the devil will mess up your mind and Jesus will put it all back together the way it's supposed to be. And they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So Jesus is about to leave this area. All right? He's about to get into the boat, go somewhere else. And the guy who just got delivered, he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to travel with you. I want to minister with you. Notice what Jesus said. Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, he said. So he got a word from God. Oh, give me a word. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has compassion on you. Man, I thought I was really going to get a word. He did get a word. He got an instruction. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, no, I want you to go and tell your friends what God did for you and how he had compassion on you. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I want you to pay special attention to that. This man who was demon-possessed, he lived in the tombs, and when they would chain him, he would break the chains. He never took a bath. He probably stunk, and he looked probably like Bozo the clown with his hair all matted and all ugly, and he would terrorize this area, okay? Jesus comes and sets him free. And he tells him to go and tell. Now, the story that he is telling is building up people's faith in their hearts. Okay? This area was bound by a demonic stronghold. And because Jesus sent this man who got delivered back into that area, he was using this man to set that area free. Now notice what happened. Look at verse 21. When Jesus passed over again, say again. So he's coming back into the area. Much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. The first time he was there, the people said, "We want you to leave." Now, after this man had been sharing his testimony, they gathered around him. The second time, when he's back in the area, now they're welcoming Jesus. Why? Because they heard some faith. And the faith that they heard changed their heart. Look at verse 22. Behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Do you think that he knew of the madman? Do you think that he saw him personally? He encountered him, and then when Jesus sent him back, he saw how Jesus healed him? Do you think that that built up faith in Jairus' heart? Yes, because now he acted on his faith. What did he do? He came and worshiped. He came and worshiped the Lord. Because of the testimony of the man who was delivered. Okay? And he ends up getting a miracle for his daughter, right? I'm not going to go into the story of Jairus. Now, go down to verse 27. Well, 26. Verse 26. This woman who had suffered many things of many physicians, okay? She spent all that she had, and nothing was better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27. When she had what? Heard of who? How did she hear of Jesus? Come on. The maniac, the madman. All he had to do was go down to Dunkin' Donuts and sit at the counter and smile, and people would be like, "Weren't you the..." Yes, I was. What happened? Let me tell you about it. This woman had been battling sickness for 12 years. Why didn't she deal with it during those 12 years? Because she had no faith. Because she never heard. It wasn't until she heard of Jesus. Notice, Jesus didn't come to her yet. She heard of him, and he was gone. He had left the area, but she heard of him. And what she heard was enough for her to make a decision. If I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She heard how the demoniac got delivered. He probably told them how he felt so free after the demons left him and went into the pigs. It was the message that she had faith in. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I might be whole," right? She didn't say, "I hope to be," right? What gave her such confidence, such boldness? It was the message that she heard. It put faith in her, and how do we know she really believed? Because she went and did it. Where was her faith? "If I touch his clothes, I shall be whole." Well, if you're in faith, then what do you got to do? You got to touch the clothes. She didn't say, "I'm too weak. I really wish I could touch his clothes, but I'm just so weak." She'd been dealing with the thing for 12 years. Spent all of her money. She didn't have anything else to lose. But finally, she encountered this demoniac who instilled with her the message that Jesus did for him. Isn't that what Jesus told him? Go and tell what I did for you. So he went and did that. And in doing that, he acted on the word that he gave, that he received from God, and he went and affected other people's lives. See, when you just do what Jesus said to do, you begin to affect others. Why do I say that? That's what Abraham did. What else did Abraham, he couldn't take a poll. He couldn't say, Lord, let me think about it. You know, when you start thinking about the word, you get messed up. Because the word does not operate according to reason. It operates from the heart. Sometimes we think ourselves out of our blessing. Sometimes we're 18 inches from our miracle. That's the distance from your mind to your heart. It was what the woman heard. And she acted on what she heard. She didn't have anything else to act on. She didn't have anything else to trust in but the word. All she put her trust in was what she heard. But that was enough. So she released her faith. Because sometimes, you know, we get into, go with me to Romans chapter 10. We think it's all up to God. Well, why didn't God heal her? Well, because she needed to believe. Why doesn't God save the world? He did. It's just people choose to not accept what he did. You know, you can easily reject, if I gave you a gift, wrapped it up, put your name on it, put a bow on it, and I gave it to you. You don't have to open it. You could put it on the shelf and forget about it. Several years ago, someone wrote the church a check for $50. The person handling that at that time forgot to put it in, and the time had expired. You know, checks have an expiration date. 6 months usually, unless they're stated differently. Well, we couldn't use it. Even though it was given here, it just was forgot. It was, you know, that was several years ago. Several years ago. That hasn't happened recently. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans 10, verse 14. Notice what it says. Well, verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, in order for you to call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to have to hear about him, right? I don't know about you, but, you know, you don't just go through the phone book and call people you don't know and have a conversation with them, do you? They'd think you're a stalker or something. They'd think you're weird. You know? Yes, I like, hello, how you doing? Who is this? Oh, I just saw your name in the phone book. Click. They're going to think you're weird. So you can't call on someone unless you've heard. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Someone needs to tell someone. Come on. Thank God for preachers. How shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, I'm here to preach a sermon. Who sent you? I don't know. Get out of here. Don't want to hear you if you don't know who sent you. Where do you come from? I don't know. Well, go back there, wherever it is. Don't listen to a preacher who hasn't been sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Notice the gospel of peace, glad tidings, and good things. This is a pretty good deal. It's a good message. Glad tidings, good things, peace. That's a pretty good message. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our reports? How do you know if someone believes? They talk a good talk? How did you know that Muhammad Ali was really serious about winning the championship? He talked it. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He talked it. How is it? You could talk the talk, but if you're not walking the walk, talk is cheap, unless you're talking to a lawyer. Just kidding. Eventually, your talk and your walk have to line up. Because when you encounter someone who talks a big talk but doesn't walk the walk, what do you think of them? Phony. Not real, superficial. Are you going to put your trust in someone who talks, but never does? No, you're not. And God expects the same thing from us. Verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That tells you how it comes, but it doesn't tell you how it's released. What do you do with what you've heard? Okay? Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's look at verse 18. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. How did you come about? You came about by his word. All right? He created you with a word. He breathed his breath into you. He created you. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. What's superfluity? That's like excess. It's like a complacent attitude of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. He's telling us to receive the word, okay? But then he tells us what to do with it after we receive it. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if someone, they come to church, they hear the word, they hear great messages, but they never do anything with what they hear, they're deceiving themselves. They never put into practice what they heard. They just hear and hear and hear and hear. It's like the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where those guys, what are they called, the Oompa Loompas, you know, they got really big and big. And I think, didn't one of them pop or something? if a person deceives themselves, the devil doesn't have to do anything. He's a deceiver by nature. And he, you know, he's like, wow, they're deceiving themselves. Ooh, that's easy. Deceiving themselves by not doing what they hear. Abraham could have said to God, when God gave him that word, oh, that's such a good word, God. That's really an awesome word. That's a good word, God. Great word. Woo, I'm pumped. That's an awesome word. And God's looking at his watch. Okay, when are you going to put it into practice? From what we read, it doesn't seem to me like it was a long time between when God spoke and when Abraham left. It doesn't seem to me like a whole lot of time passed. If you want to wait to do the word, you can, but you're just simply delaying your own blessing. The quicker you do the word is the quicker that God's blessing can come on you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I know that there's a blessing involved, I want to act as quickly as I can. When is faith? Now. There are times when faith demands immediate action. And there are times when there's a process of planting, growing, harvest. So you got to hear God's word with clarity to determine what you're in. Is it a now moment, or is it, you know, because he talks about planting the seed of faith and allowing it to grow. Why doesn't a baby come out in a day after a woman finds out that she's pregnant? Because what's on the inside has to develop and has to grow before it can come out. Because if it comes out too early, it could damage. If it comes out too late, it could damage. There's a right time and a right season. But there are times when God speaks that you have to act quickly. And if you don't act quickly in that moment, then you lose the blessing. Saul, he had a moment where he should have acted quickly. Samuel said, did you do what God said to do? Oh, yes, I did it all. Then what's that bleating of sheep I hear? Oh, that. Oh, well, you know, we just wanted to keep the best stuff. He should have dealt with it right away. He missed his opportunity. What happened? He lost the kingdom. He lost the anointing. Because he did not act in the now moment. And that's really when the fear of God comes in. When God speaks, you have to act. You have to do what he said do. What if he tells you to stand, then stand? What if he tells you to wait, then wait? Those who wait upon the Lord, what? You renew your strength. When God gives you an instruction, follow it, but as you're going, keep listening. Because he may tell you to turn in the middle of where you're going. Isn't that what Jesus did? He comes to Jairus. Jairus comes, worships him, bows down, says, my daughter is near death. Come and lay your hands on her, she shall be whole. They're walking, and they're going to Jairus' house, and all of a sudden the woman with the issue of blood comes in. And Jesus went wherever faith was. Jesus was led by faith, so wherever faith was, Jesus went. He didn't go where the need was, he went where faith was. That's important. And what happened? By the time he finished with the woman with the issue of blood, they went back to Jairus' house, but it was too late. His daughter died. But it's never too late when you're in faith. Jesus looked at him and said, only believe. In other words, you need to keep what you originally said and don't change. And he did, and what happened? Jesus took the woman by the hand, touched her, and she was made well. Do you realize that Jesus laid hands on her just like he asked? So, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers. Who's going to be blessed, the hearer or the doer? the doer. The hearer is blessed when they hear, but then that's not enough. Hearing is not enough. It must follow with action. Now that action could be simply speaking. Roman centurion, only say the word and it shall be so. He didn't have to have Jesus come and lay hands on his servant. All he had to have Jesus do was speak. That the speaking was the action that represented what he believed. Okay? Your action has to demonstrate what you believe. That's what it means. Your action has to demonstrate what you believe. If you say you're healed, then you cannot talk sickness. But I'm lying if I don't acknowledge the sickness. You don't have to acknowledge it. You're just acknowledging what God said in spite of what the sickness says. You're going to a higher law. All right? All right, let me get through this James and then we'll finish. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Oh, you handsome fellow, you are just so handsome. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of what man he was. Oh, I didn't see this in the mirror. I walked out and I forgot that I had something on my face. See, the hearer is the one beholding, but he forgets because he doesn't do. He walks away. He doesn't put it into practice, so therefore he forgets. You're not going to get too far if you forget where your keys are. Trust me. He beholds himself, he goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, notice, you're looking into the perfect law of liberty. And you're not beholding yourself, you're beholding him. And continues therein. Underline that phrase, and continues therein. What if I don't continue? Then you're only a hearer. If you don't continue, you're only a hearer and you're going to end up deceived by your own self. You can't even blame it on the devil. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word or the work, this man shall be blessed in what? In his deed, in his action. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If you don't bridle your tongue, you can deceive your heart. Your mouth and your heart are connected, whether you want to believe it or not. It is so. Your heart and your mouth will produce positive or negative results. A man in my hometown worked for a construction company. He named the owner of the company. He said, "Old man so-and-so is going to bury me alive." You know what happened to him? Oh, yes. He was on a job site. He had to dig down the foundation, and it caved in on him. And I'm going to leave you with this. You know how God taught me about faith? I was mowing a lawn one day, and I finished mowing, and I was at the weed-eating part. And I only had this electric weed-eater. It was green and yellow. And I'm weed-eating and weed-eating, and all of a sudden, the bottom of that weed-eater had a donut. And that donut flew off the bottom. It's green. The grass is green. I did not know where that bottom of that thing went, and I needed to finish. So what did I do? I walked around the yard, and I said, "Lord, I just thank you that you know where that thing is and that you're going to help me find that thing. Lord, I just think, what am I doing? I'm building up my faith. I'm hearing myself speak the word. I'm saying this. This took about a half an hour. If you'd have walked by that yard, you said, "What is that crazy man doing?" I'm walking, and I'm saying, I'm confessing. All of a sudden, I stop, and I look across the yard, underneath a bush. I look right at that donut. That's how God taught me about faith. Another incident, real quick. Near my hometown, there's a state park called Starved Rock State Park. And it's near a river. It's got all these trails that you can walk on, cliffs to climb, and all, you know, all this stuff. Well, a friend and I, we were walking these trails, and, you know, we went everywhere. We spent a couple hours there. Got back to the car, and I realized I didn't have my wallet. I had it when I started. Now, we tried to trace our steps, but, you know, this is a big area. And didn't find my wallet, so on the way home, I'm praying. So, Lord, I just thank you. You know exactly where my wallet is. I thank you, Lord, for either bringing it to me or me to it, Lord. And I just thank you that I'm going to find my wallet. Guess what? 3 days later, it was mailed to me. And I didn't have any money in it, but all my other stuff was in there. They mailed it to me. Can you say praise the Lord? And it was those little things, how God taught me about faith. Now, there's still areas that I have to develop in. You can be strong in some areas of faith and weak in others. You could be strong in healing, but weak in prosperity. So, just like a weightlifter, if you want to target a particular muscle, you got to do exercises that narrow down your scope. I don't know how there's any easier way to say that. You just target that particular area. You do exercises that build up that area. Why don't you do the same with the word? If you're weak in one area, go and do some spiritual training. Take your spiritual vitamins. Make yourself get up out of your circumstance and go to the word and strengthen those areas that you're weak in. Okay? But all this is related to what Abraham did. Now, you got to understand, Abraham had a lot less than what we have. He didn't have a Bible that he could refer to. All he heard was his voice. Later on, God appeared to him, so then he saw who was doing the talking. But Abraham did a lot with a little. We have no excuse. So we need to kick it up a notch. So as we study this, our heritage of faith, we're going to build your faith up. Amen? Because everything that we do, it's going to take faith. This building is going to get paid off because of faith. And whether people give or not, God's still going to pay this building off. My faith is not in the people. My faith is in God. But the people get to join in by partnering with Abraham. If you bless him, you'll be blessed. So, by the way, I'm just believing God that this building is paid off this year, 2009. We're going to have a hi-ho mortgage-burning celebration party, I'm telling you. So, amen. Anybody have any questions or thoughts on our heritage of faith? Say this. Say, Father, I commit to you that I will be a doer of your word. When you speak to me, I will believe, I will act on it, and I will do what you say. I will not argue. I will not doubt. I will not let my blessing pass me by. But I will be obedient to whatever you say in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you have any questions or anything, if not. Mm-hmm. Awesome.